A proud king summoned before God, chapter 107. The inhabitants of Tyre and Sidon walk with oppressed faces through the streets of their city, and they remain standing in groups conversing with each other, but they are not cheerful. The noisy hilarity which otherwise reigned in these cities has disappeared. A gloomy downheartedness prevails at this time. Tyre and Sidon has come into great difficulty. Why have they? War is threatening, and war is always a dreadful thing. War brings mourning and grief. War brings poverty and want. Herod, who was appointed king over the land of Canaan by the Roman emperor, plans to attack these two cities. It was especially bad for Tyre and Sidon because they were large trading cities. The inhabitants of these cities were of old seamen. There was scarcely any husbandry in the vicinity of these cities. They bought the wheat and oil which they needed for their daily food from the land of Canaan. This was done already during the days of Solomon. Do you still remember that Solomon needed cedar wood for the building of the temple? Didn't these cedar trees grow in Lebanon? That mountain lay in Tyre. Hiram, the king of Tyre, made an agreement with Solomon. Hiram gave Solomon cedar wood, and in exchange for this wood, Solomon gave Hiram wheat and oil. Do you still remember that? At the present time, they still are trading thus. They are receiving at this time food from the country over which Herod is king. If war should begin, the wheat and oil from the land of Canaan will not be imported to them. Famine will come in Tyre and Sidon. Thousands will perish from want and distress. Many shall be killed in the battle, and the cities shall be defeated. For that reason, the dwellers of Tyre and Sidon fear. The government of these two cities ponder over how to avert the threatening calamity. Do you know what they decide to do? They will send an embassy to Herod. They will plead with him for peace. It is possible Herod may listen to them. A short time later, these ambassadors from Tyre and Sidon arrive in Caesarea. They ask Blastus for his aid. This man is one of the highest chamberlains of Herod. They talk with this mighty courtier, and he promises to speak well of them to the king. Herod thinks it a great honor to him to have the people from these powerful cities come to him pleading for peace. It flatters his high-minded heart. He glows from pride. It seems as if they are afraid of him. Well, they may have their desire. The conflict will not be pushed because they have come so humbly to him pleading for peace. He will talk to them and send them away in peace. He informs them what day this will take place, for we read in God's word, upon a set day. So this day was set beforehand. A large theater was located in Caesarea, and probably this theater was chosen as the place where this ceremony would take place. Of course, the ambassadors from Tyre and Sidon are present when this day arrives. However, a great number of the people of Caesarea also have come to listen to this oration. The theater is filled with a great multitude. All of them are inquisitive. Suddenly, the murmur of the thousands of voices ceases, and it becomes extremely quiet. What is the reason for this? Just look. The king is entering this enormous building and walks proudly to the seat appointed for him. Herod had put on his royal garments for this occasion. These garments glitter from the silver embroidery that has been ornamentally sewed on. The rays of sunlight reflect from the white silver. Everyone watches the prince as he goes to his throne. As soon as he has taken his place, he begins to speak. What does he talk about? We do not know. God's word does not tell us. It is sure that he aims at his own honor in this speech. You can believe that he praised himself as a good king who is so kindly disposed that he will not wage war with Tyre and Sidon upon their request. He is going to be merciful to them. The oration is listened to amid breathless quietness. However, as soon as he finishes, the numerous multitude applauds him enthusiastically. They cry loudly, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." Do you hear that? The people give him divine honor. Herod hears these words and a satisfied smile comes upon his face. This is more than he had dared to expect. Oh, his heart swells with pride. The people honor him as a god, and he permits it. He does not forbid these ungodly words. He does not silence these foolish people. Oh no, on the contrary, he agrees with it and he thinks that it is wonderful. But look, suddenly a ghastly paleness comes upon his face. He shrinks together and groans. The sweat sparkles upon his forehead. His face becomes ashen pale. The people leave the theater. And undoubtedly the king is carried to his palace. Why? What happened? Read what the Bible says. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. When this wicked prince accepted the ungodly honor of the people, God came and punished this proud king. An angel smote him. He became incurably sick. The Bible tells us that he was eaten of worms. That is why he shrank together. That is why he groaned so, for the worms gnawed at his bowels. And this caused excruciating pain, a pain which can scarcely be borne. God makes this king feel that he is no god, but only a weak, puny person. We do not know how much longer he lived, but after this, he had not a moment's rest. He could not sleep because of the pain, the dreadful pain. His body was racked with disease. Probably he screamed from agony. Soon after that, he died. Then he could not fight a war, but he was summoned before God's dreadful judgment seat. For him the day of grace was past. The innocent blood of the apostle James, who was beheaded by him and his other crimes, shall fill his soul to all eternity with remorse and regret. His body also shall arise in the great judgment day. But then the smoke of his torment shall go up forever and ever. God is a jealous God of his honor. He will not permit himself to be offended without punishing the offender. Herod could not do it, and neither will the righteous judge tolerate it from us. Think about that seriously, boys and girls.